Jury deliberations in the trial of Senator Ted Stevens are on hold. Judge Emmett Sullivan decided to send the jury home this morning in order to accommodate a juror who had to leave town for a family emergency. The delay drags out deliberations and will force the trial into its sixth week. APRN's Libby Casey is covering the trial and joins us from Washington. Hi, Libby.
Good evening, Duncan.
Libby, what was the process that led the judge to call off the deliberations for the day?
One of the jurors' fathers died, and she had to fly out to California early this morning. Judge Sullivan talked to her last night and conveyed his sympathy and said he didn't want to pressure her about when she might return, and she was still figuring out her plans at the time. So the judge held a hearing this morning to hear from attorneys on both sides of the case about if they should go forward without this juror or replace her with an alternate or wait. And he decided to wait and see if the absent juror can return and rejoin the group. So he's going to call her Sunday evening to check in, see how she is, and find out about her travel plans. If she does come back, it still very well may postpone things until Tuesday or Wednesday because of her need to travel across the country. Now, if she's not coming back, there's a chance the judge could call in an alternate to replace her Monday. He'll talk to the lawyers again Sunday night to see what they think, and we'll find out Sunday when the trial is going to move forward. The jurors were told this morning that they'll get a call Sunday as well to tell them if they should come in Monday morning or not.
Well, why not replace her with an alternate now, or maybe just let the jury go with 11 instead of 12?
Right. Well, Judge Sullivan said an alternate would take time to get up to speed, which would essentially start deliberations over again. Going down to 11 jurors is allowed, but the judge said if they lose another juror beyond that, they'll have what he called major problems. And, you know, Duncan, even though it seems like this has been taking a long time, in truth, the jury has only deliberated for a day and a half. So it's early to lose jurors, and the judge decided to go with a cautious approach and just wait. He did, however, bring in the first alternate this morning to see if she's still qualified to be a juror. There are four alternates out there. They have not been sitting in on deliberations. They've gone back to their regular lives. But they were told, don't talk about the case at all. Don't listen to media reports. So this first alternate came in this morning, and the judge asked her, you know, have you listened to the media? Have you read about the case? She said no. She hasn't talked to anyone about it. And in fact, she hasn't even made up her mind about Stephen's innocence or guilt. So she is on call to perhaps come back next week.
Now, you got lawyers on both sides looking at this and trying to figure, how they're going to react, what angles they're going to take. What do they appear to be doing right now?
Right. And the lawyers have been paying very close attention to the jurors. You know, they notice things like which jurors take notes, how do they react facially. So they know a lot more about the jurors really than we do. So we don't know what all their motivations are. But remember, back before the trial started, Stevens said he wanted the case fast-tracked so he could have a verdict before Election Day. But now, with Election Day right around the corner, his lawyers are actually the ones arguing to wait and see if the juror can come back. The prosecution was the one pushing for things to go forward, either with an alternate or with a smaller jury. And there's all sorts of strategy involved in this. It's generally better for defense teams to have some chaos and disruption in the jury because they need a unanimous decision in order to convict Stevens on any of the counts. And in this case, it may be good for the defense that the jurors are getting some distance from Stevens' own testimony and even the closing arguments. You know, some of the jurors may still have Prosecutor Brenda Morris's words ringing in their ears from earlier this week. She was verbally, you know, the most powerful and forceful when she was making her case and arguing. And she talked to the jurors like she related to them. She was saying things like, you know, when the phone company calls you, you can't say, yeah, I just didn't get the bill. Get me next month. And she used phrases like, Ted Stevens threw his wife under the bus. And so using these common person expressions, I think, may be stuck with the jurors. And it may be in the defense's favor that they're getting some distance from that, getting some distance from those, sort of impassioned speeches. And in the end, it may benefit Stevens. The prosecution, on the other hand, really wanted to get things moving today and build on the momentum the jury finally seemed to be gaining.
All right. This hasn't been the only problem with the jury. Yesterday, as you reported, there were problems among jury members, the foreman sending a note to the judge asking that one of the jurors be removed. Are people still reacting to that?
They really are. You know, yesterday things nearly veered off course when the jury said one of their own members was being rude and having violent outbursts. And that was on top of a note the previous day in which jurors said they were stressed and needed to go home early. So things have felt a little herky-jerky, but none of us know what's going on in the jury room behind closed doors. And the problems do seem to have been personality-driven, not issue-driven, you know, not related to the case. But, you know, it's been a long month, and these jurors have heard from more than 50 witnesses. The judge even said today, everyone needs a break. Maybe it's time the jurors had one anyway. And juries do have growing pains. You know, they are there to argue and debate and make some very important decisions. And after 5 weeks together, it may be time for them just to have some space. The judge decided yesterday to give them a pep talk rather than admonish them, you know, encourage them to get along rather than pointing anybody out. And he thought that that was the right thing to do in the end because they did seem to be smiling and positive by the end of the day. But, you know, the judge can always take a more drastic step and interfere more, but you can't undo that. So he's choosing to be cautious and kind of take things slowly and interfere as little as possible.
Okay, every day that the deliberations drag on, every day we don't have a verdict, gets us closer to November 4th, to Election Day. What happens if Stephen is found guilty?
Well, he hasn't even talked about that possibility. If that were to happen, Stephen's name will still appear on the ballot, and it would actually be up to the Senate to expel him as a member. It takes a two-thirds vote of the Senate, so that's a long way off. No sitting senator has been removed, though, since Civil War years, you know, in nearly 150 years. Of course, if Stevens is found guilty, he can appeal, and so that may be yet another process to go through. Looks like we're not going to get that decision for a few more days yet, though. Election Day is only 11 days away. He's stuck here in Washington until this verdict is decided.
Okay, thank you, Libby. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Duncan.
APRN's Washington, D.C. correspondent Libby Casey is covering the Stevens trial.